This morning when I was home, there was a sense that I got that I was supposed to share something this morning, a communion, but I didn't get it till I got in here. God's just really been dealing with me with a lot of things lately, you know, and it's because there's, we could say or teach a lot of things, or there's so much we could do from the scriptural standpoint, but it's finding out what's God saying to us right now, you know. What's God speaking? What's on His heart? What's important right now? You know, as I heard Randall Greer said this, he was praying. He was praying. Here's one meeting he had down in Branson. He had been praying for that meeting and going there, and the Lord said that the church is missing it in their prayers. He said the prayers. He said the church is basically praying for the world and for leaders and that stuff, but he said they're not praying for the church, and he said there won't be a revival unless there's a move of God in the church. And he said, right now, he said, there needs to be an emphasis of praying for the church. Praying for the church. The move of God always comes through the church. Don't come through the world. It comes through the church and praying for it. Well, you know, it's just like, what's on the heart of God? One of the things is, yesterday at we were at... Josh Miller, you know, he got married yesterday. Was their wedding day and stuff. Anyhow, we were invited to the wedding. We were at the wedding, and in fact, I was talking with Arlen back here. I was talking with his dad, and I was talking to him about some things. Is one of the things that we've lost, and God's really been putting in my heart, is you don't hear about righteousness. And I'm not talking about righteousness. I know we're righteous by faith, but there's a righteous living. There's a righteous walking. It's no good to be righteous and then not live righteous. It's of no value. And holiness. Well, the Bible says, without holiness, you're not going to see God. I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians ain't going to see God because they ain't walking and living holy. He said, without it, you can't see God. There's a holy life to live. And the Lord was reminded me this week about the incident that back in 1989, in that spring, when the Lord told me He wanted, I was at Bible school, and the Lord said He wanted to talk to me that day, and He said He wanted me to go out to the reservoir. He wanted to talk to me there. And one of the things that happened there was out there was after the Holy Spirit had spoken to me for about 20, 25 minutes, and I had left, He told me I could go. And I went down to get in the car, and the presence of Jesus came into that car. And there was a holiness. I mean, there is not words I can't tell you. There's nothing in the vernacular, I don't think, of any earthly language could tell you what that holiness was like. And after that, all I ever thought about was the fact of holiness as not words on a page. It's not holy as some just living right. Holy is a person. And His holiness is where His power lies. And when His holiness came into that car in strength, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. I thought it was going to kill me. I thought it would kill me being in that presence. I know why in the Old Testament people thought that if God got close to him, it'd kill him. I understand why. I thought it'd kill me when it came into the car. Today, the church has left all that, all this junk and rot that's going on, and everybody's whining and crying about something. Biggest babies in the world we got, and the stuff is going on. All this nonsense out here in the church world, and because we've left these things, and these are keys to God. There won't be a move of God without holiness. There won't be one. There has to be an awe and a respect of God must come. It must happen. And that all respect to God got to go beyond people's only fleshly ideas and their fleshly things and the fleshly stuff that we want or desire. It comes down to what does God want? You know, the Apostle Paul was called to the kingdom and told that his coming into the kingdom, God was going to show him what he was going to have to suffer for his name's sake. Boy, that ain't preached. God didn't say, I'm going to be in the kingdom, all he's going to get for following. He said, well, he's going to suffer for my name's sake. And I'll tell you, living holy and living righteous is going to cause suffering to us. It's hard bringing the flesh under. And when you try to tell people and deal with people to bring their flesh under, you find out how hard it is, because most people retaliate if they get corrected. They retaliate. That's what they do. Retaliation. Because we don't, I'm a person of faith. Well, I'll tell you, if you don't have holiness and righteousness, you ain't a person of faith. Because faith don't work without it. I want to read you, the Lord told me to read this morning when I was in here, because of taking communion. We're taking communion together. And we usually use the scriptures, and I want you to, if you want to follow along with me in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the Apostle Paul writing here to the church at Corinth, I want you to see what he said to them. The Lord told me to read this, because we're going to look at the problems with the church. And about one thing is our approach toward communion. We might have a good approach toward communion, but you need to understand these things need to be taught in the church, because you need to be able to identify what's going on out here in this world and why things are like they are. And even in the church realm, there's a lot of things that healing ministry ain't going to change very much of people, a lot of people's sickness and disease, because it's what they're doing. When people are under judgment, they're not going to get healed by gifts of healing. It don't work that way. When people are under judgment, and we want to look at things, healing, another thing, the blessing of God, just in it is. Because, you know, we teach, you know, things of longevity of life and all those kind of things. They go along with living right. You're not going to have those things if we don't do what's right. You can confess all you want. We can confess those things, which is good. Now, I'm not against confess it, saying the right thing, but let's do the right things. Let's do the right things, because I'll tell you what, doing will bring blessing. In the 17th verse, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and this whole discourse is about their treatment of things and what's going on in that church and what's causing problems. And this is in the church world today. He says, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Ooh, isn't that something? Going to church for the worst. That goes on today. People go to the church for worst. The Apostle Paul had wrote earlier in here, he said, if you have a brother and he's a troublemaker, don't even as much as eat with him. Today it's no, the troublemaker gets to, you know, they run their voice and get everybody else all stirred up. He says, now listen to what he says. "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part," he said, "I believe it." Now listen to what he says. "Therefore," he said, for "there must be also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." You know, proving who's right has to show up. Today we have all this conformity. You know what we do today? The person who wants to walk right has to sit down and negotiate with the evil person and give up part of what's right so we can get along. That's what Congress calls negotiating today. Negotiating in Congress is good people give up what is good so the bad people can rule. That's being a politician. That's what politicians are, and it's as much in the church world. There's much politics in the church as there is down in Washington, I'll guarantee you. People want what they want, no matter what. Now listen to what he said. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Now they were going through a ritual of eating the Lord's Supper. He said, "You're not." He said, "For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of another. And one is hungry and another is drunk." Can you imagine? Come to church drunk. Dear Lord, I know ministers who get in the pulpit drunk. I've known over the years. Get in the pulpit drunk. People call them ministers or alcoholics. "Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'll tell you, we're going places." Well, they had this, and this might seem wild to you. I'm going to tell you what. This goes back into the 1980s. There was a church, Assembly of God Church, up in Long Island, New York, that served cocktails before their services. Oh, yeah. Actually, took place. First I thought, oh, come on, this it can't be. Found out it was true, they did. Got to get in the spirit, you know. Folks, when you're in the ministry, you find out weird stuff. I'll tell you, find out what's going on out there and the things. I'm going to tell you, you're living in a crazy world. We didn't end up in the situation we are in America today. It didn't start in the Obama administration. It started long before. The church got messed up long before. Long before. But it says, verse 22, what? Do you not have houses to eat in and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? He said, I do not praise you. In other words, their love and their care for one another. And he talked about the communion service. And he goes on then and he gives them what the Lord told him. And I want you to understand this, because he's dealing with what a revelation he got from the Lord, though the Lord spoke to him. Understand, Paul was not at the first communion service with Jesus and the other disciples. He was not there. So the Lord told him, we read it over in the Gospels, and here we find he's saying the same thing. In other words, the Lord told him what he had said to them that night personally. He told them what he said. So he had a revelation about communion, which I imagine the Lord gave him a revelation about taking communion, and that's why he is saying the things he did. I believe these things are from the Lord and spoken to the church today. Now, down in verse 27, we'll skip down there where with the elements thing. But he said, therefore, in other words, he tells them about the communion thing. In other words, communion's not a meal. Now, let me understand it. Some churches have a meal together and then they take communion, and that's fine. What these people weren't doing, they were coming and everybody's doing their own thing. In other words, the treatment of one another, you can sit and take communion and it's the worst thing you ever did in your life. If you're not in fellowship with the body, if you're, out here on your own little thing and your own little stuff and doing your own little things, this is what they were doing. They had their own little Christianity. They had their own little stuff. This is what they did. They got together as a church, but God didn't consider they were getting together the church. God wasn't happy with it because, they had their own, this is about me and them, and I ain't eating with this guy, and I'm, upset about this, and I got this problem, and they're playing their little games. They got their little stuff that they're doing. And he goes on to say, therefore, in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Do you hear what it's written there? In a manner, approaching this communion table in the wrong manner, approaching taking these things in the wrong manner, God considers us guilty of the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a powerful statement. This is a hugely powerful statement. In other words, come along. This just, anybody taking communion and just, we're just doing this thing. Now listen to what he said. He goes on to say, and I ain't saying this just trying to criticize people, but see, we have left these things in the church world today. We left the holiness and things. We've left where what this stuff means. I'm going to tell you what, this communion thing is for believers and believers only and believers who are going to walk right. I want to tell you what, just as much as this can bring life to you, it can bring death to you. Because we're going to find out it did that to these people. The communion table became a place of weakness, of sickness and death to this church. Why? Because it came a place of judgment. These elements, we take them in the light of judging ourselves. That's what we take it in the light of. Our union with Him, our union with one another. See, their treatment of one another was like treating Jesus Christ in the same manner. John wrote in 1 John, he said, if you don't love your brother, you don't have any eternal life in you. Ooh, boy. That one don't get read off on. That isn't in the promise box, I'll guarantee you. That's not there. Well, it's in the Bible. It's walking in love and walking in unity with one another. So, the manner said, but he said, what do we do? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So we examine ourselves. It's a self-examination. We know if we're missing it or not. We'd have to judge ourselves. Now, he goes on to say, for he who drinks, eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself. He drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what were they doing here that they didn't disturb the Lord's body? It was the other believers around him. See, we've lost, you know, the idea of being a body. This one thing is, I would say that a lot of the people back when I was a kid in church, they had more of an idea that they were a body of people of God than the church does today. Much more. They believed they were a separate group from the world. They didn't believe. They didn't believe like in the world. The world was the people that were unsaved. They were a separate group. We haven't lost that. Most believe, largest church in America, I heard the pastor say this. He said he has a lot of homosexuals are his best friends. Well, your best friends? Well, I sure want to know what he thinks of the body. I don't want to be taking communion with that boy. We're in a messed up thing going on. We're out here in a messed up stuff going on. And it's called Christianity, but it is not. It is not. We got ministers with demon spirits standing in pulpits. They can call them any name they want and call them any office they want. It ain't going on with it. But he said here, what we examine ourselves, he said, he who eats and drinks, what does he do in the one word manner? Eats and drink judgment himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He said, listen, for this reason, many are weak, sick, and among you, and many sleep, and that really means die. If you look up the word sleep, it means to die. Listen to that. He said that many in this church, he said there was many in this church, this church that he was at, he's writing to, the Corinth church. The Corinthians church was a big church. At the Corinthian church, he said many of them were weak, sick, and they have died. Many have died prematurely because of this, because of the communion table. Because of the communion table. Because of not doing right, not judging themselves, people not judging. See, you know, this gray stuff that came out of that guy in Singapore and writes a book, and you know, you don't have to confess your sin. Your sins are already taken care of. Don't sound like it here. Why would you be judging yourself if everything's taken care of? But you know what? Those men are not doing nothing but preaching death to the church. They're preaching death. Go ahead and sin. You don't have to confess it. You don't need to judge yourself. You need to judge yourself. And that's why. Now, I want you to understand this. Don't get me wrong. Everybody isn't sick because they didn't judge themselves. That's what a person knows whether they're in sin or not. Well, today we might have a lot of people don't know because it ain't preached. So they don't know what the word says about what is sin. They think everything's all right. But we do. We know what wrongdoing is here. We know if we need to repent. We know if we're doing something wrong. We're knowing if we need to judge ourselves. And especially judging ourselves concerning the body of one another. Is this really, are we really the body of Christ? Do we really love the body of Christ and believers? We need to do that. We need to show respect for the body. And many people don't. That's why it's today. You have many Christians that say, well, you know, they love the Lord, never go to church. They don't love the Lord. You know, over the years, I've gotten loads and loads of people called. They're having all kinds of problems. Well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I don't go to church, but I like God, and I just worship in my own way. Well, the reason you're calling me, you got troubles because you're under judgment. Because you don't judge the body right. Don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. New Testament. We don't do that because it brings judgment on people. There's people, you can't get them out under judgment. They're coming, well, you know, pray for me. If you're going to live under things that bring judgment to you, praying for you ain't going to solve that problem. I just pray for the person, not for the problem. I pray that they get right with God and get in fellowship with God. A lot of things and go away for people. If they do that, we need to understand this. It's about the love of the body. I know there's a lot messed up in the body of Christ, but it's still the body of Christ, and if God can't sort it out, that's His problem. That ain't my problem. That's His problem. But I'm sticking with the body. I'm going to love the body, and I want to be in the body. There's one thing I've found out. I stay around the body. God reveals Himself to me and shows Himself to me, and that's the things that we want to walk in and we want to live in. And I just encourage you, stick with the body. Stay with the body. Don't move away from the body. Hallelujah. It's the body of Christ. When people walk in love with one another, and I tell you, whether they walk in love with you or not, don't matter. Hallelujah. Don't get in their fights and their arguments and stuff. Why? Because it's about your health and your well-being and stuff. It's about it's not worth it giving up your health over a bunch of fussing people. It ain't worth it. I ain't giving it up over that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. But he goes over, there's many. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, what happens? We would not be judged. In other words, if I judge myself, I won't be judged. Isn't that wonderful? You know? So in other words, if I do it. In other words, it starts with me if I'll judge myself. But now listen what he said. If we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. Why? That we may not be condemned with the world. I want you to understand this. God judges. His motive is love. There's no such thing as having love without judgment. It never exists, it never has existed, and never will exist. If there is no judgment, then God does not love. Judgment is not something just to kill people, it is to make correction. Just like a child, if you don't correct a child, the Bible says you don't love them. The Bible says if you don't correct a child, you don't love them. How many parents I heard love their child and they won't correct them? And I always say this, they hate their kids. And they do. The Bible says you hate a child. You don't correct a child, you hate them. It's the Bible. You know, that's, well, we don't preach that today. You know, we don't want to hear too much of that. That stings people's ears. But it's the truth. God does it. Why? So the person doesn't become condemned with the world. God wants that person corrected because He don't want the judgment that's on the world. What's the judgment of the world? The judgment of the world is the lake of fire. You need to understand this, and I've known this many years. God, if you're not going to live right for God, God would rather have you dead and in heaven than have you living like hell here in this earth. God's trying to get people to heaven. Judgment's about God trying to get people, keep them on the right course. That's what it's about. It's not evil. It's not bad. It's about getting people on the right course. It's correction. Correcting people's course. They get off course. He's correcting them to get back on. And so we know this. God didn't want the weakness, the sickness, and the death going on in that church. He didn't want that going on. That wasn't His plan. That was man's plan. Being carried out in the church. And God is judging these people because this stuff is going on. He's judging. He didn't want that. They chose that by the direction they took. He has to judge them. He has to correct them. He can't get away from it. He has to do it. He's not up there gleefully saying, oh boy, I can't wait to, you know, hit him with a lightning bolt. I just can't wait to. He's not doing that. He has to correct it. He said, therefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, he said, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. Coming together for, imagine, this church was coming together for judgment. When they got together, they were worse off than what they were when they weren't together. Can you imagine that? See, I want us to come to church. It's something better for us, ain't it? You know, this is one of the reasons, though, I've always done in the church, there was always participation for everyone. You know, when you turn around and have food, you have everybody comes and eats. When I was in the youth ministry and that stuff, they used to, you know, youth ministries I was ever around, they would have retreats and everybody had to come up with their money and stuff for retreats. And sometimes kids didn't go. I was in churches, they couldn't go on certain things or do anything. When I was youth leader, everybody went. And I was in a church where the pastor didn't even hardly give us a nickel for the youth ministry. But I knew how to believe God and get money to do things, and people would give money. We knew how to believe. And they would do so. But we never had anything, and everybody didn't participate. If somebody didn't participate, it wasn't by our fault. They chose not to participate. But anybody could participate. Why? Because we're the body. And you teach them the care and looking after one another. And we've lost that in the church world. That's part of holiness. That's part of righteousness. And we've lost that in the church world today. It's the church has lost that thing where they go along and they don't follow the word of God. That's where I, as a one time, and I've told you guys this many times, I talked about a guy who I was talking to on the street of Lebanon. I was out, I'd been doing some praying in the city and stuff, and I'd talk to people sometimes. I'd talk to people about the Lord. I'd witness to them. And this years ago. And this one guy was all, he was telling me about, he gets his stuff. The churches were always taking care of him, doing stuff for him. I asked him about going to church. He said, "Oh, I don't go to church." I said, "Why don't you go to church?" He said, "Well, you don't want to go to church." He said, if you start going to church, they quit giving you all this stuff." I had a woman come to me one time asking for help, who goes to a church. She's asking me for help. And her church told her that she needed help. She needed to go to Lebanon County Christian Ministries. She's part of a church. And I said to her, "What do you go to that church for?" I said, "They don't love you nor care for you." My one, I am a pastor of a flock. My number one care in this community is for the flock. My flock, not somebody else's. My flock. And the care of my flock. If our flock needs something, then we need to help. You don't send them off to somebody else. You don't send them off to something else. We do it. That's part of what it is. That's part of loving one another. That's part of our family. Some other flock, that's their pastor and them. It's like I said, then why do you go to that church? "Well, I believe God wants me there." I said, "Well, then you go there and starve out. You just go there and do that, because you're not going to go over there and put your time and money in that church and come over to this one and eat lunch." I said, "It don't work that way. They don't care for you, but you're going to stay there and we're going to take care of you while you stay there." I said, "Look, I'm not against you, but I ain't going to help you because you're crazy. Ain't nobody can help people that do stuff like that. You can't help them." Good preaching, Ed. But see, we've lost it in the community. We've lost it in the community. Churches are not taking care of. The church don't have the love for one another, and they've lost that. They've lost this thing. And we wonder why today there's so much sickness, because the church... Yes, Lord. Lord, just remind me. Kenneth Hagin had went to the Lord years ago and asked the Lord one time. He said, "Lord," he said, back when he was a younger man in the ministry, he had said to the Lord, "Lord, I've never seen so much sickness and disease in the church world today." He said, "There's so much in the church world." He said, "What's going on? Why do we have so much today that we didn't have years ago in the church?" And the Lord said to him, he said, "The people back then lived better lives than people live today." I've come to understand this, and I want you to understand the fact. You can never get doctors good enough to get rid of sickness and disease when sin is the problem. You can't cure sickness when sin is dominating. Thank God for what doctors have been able to do, but they've been trying to keep a sinful people well. And the devil's running rampant. And he's allowed to. In this church of Corinth, he did. And this isn't, I'm not speaking of this to criticize us here. You need to understand what's, God wants you to understand what's going on out here in this world. Why it is. Why it's happening. If the truth is not spoken to people, we can sit around and pray for people, and do that, but the truth must be preached. The truth must be told. People need to be told why they could have certain problems. It's like here today. I don't know if anybody got a problem here because of sin or not walking right or not. I don't know that. But number one, if we didn't preach what the Word says about it, you could never know to judge yourself to get it corrected. We're not doing it to run people down. We're running to preach these things to get it corrected so we don't have the problem. So we get well. And we're living out here in the world, and there's people who want to get well. I see people all the time that want to get well, and I know this, they ain't going to get well. I know Christians that ain't going to get well. I know what's going on, and I know it ain't going to get well. If things aren't judged, they're not going to get well. It's not being evil. It's not being bad. You can't go against the Word of God without it having effect. I've always read that when it, you know, because it always just, remember the first time and I really paid attention to it when I read there where it said that many, many are weak and sick. They're dying prematurely. People dying prematurely because they aren't judging themselves. As we take this today, I want us to take communion, and it's our blessing to us. Just as it can cause a problem, it can be the greatest blessing to us. Hallelujah. This is not something to be taken lightly, too. This is not something. This is not, you know, you can make it into a ritual that'll kill you. It's a place of life. And if I've missed it, it is so wonderful. If I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It is so simple to fix. But see, if we don't know the danger of doing wrong. See, many people out here, we're living in a world, and you need to start preaching to people and telling them. Because a lot of people want to fix things in their lives. As over the years, as a minister, people come and ask me to pray for them. And I know that I can't pray for them what they say they want because they can't get what they want because of things they're doing. So I pray that the Holy Spirit start to move on them to correct their life. Loads of problems. I found out there's loads of things in my life straightened out the more I got straightened out. The more I got straightened out, I dealt with less stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that you have something wrong that you've messed up. You might have the devil attacking you because you did right. But you have to be able to judge that. If you don't know or have the wisdom of God, you can't judge whether you're walking right or walking wrong. You're just out here on this course, setting your own standard for what you think's good or not. The Word of God sets the standard for us. The Word of God sets the standard. And praise God. That don't mean none of us know all the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, we know when our heart has been under conviction. And when I read the Bible, then I can come under conviction there from the Word of God when I read it. Oh, man, I'm not in line with this, or I'm not in line with that. I need to get in line with this. It isn't there to beat me down. It's so I can walk in the blessing. The place of communion is a reminder of the glory that God brought to mankind through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's our identification with Christ and with one another. I'm going to tell you, we are a separate people in this earth. Don't ever, ever talk to people who are not, don't belong to Christ and tell them, well, I'm just like you are. I am not like they are. I used to be like they are. I was the drunk. I was the drug user. I was a guy that didn't care. That's what I was. I'm a different person. I'm not like what they are. I need to be able to identify with the body of Christ. More Christians identify with the world than they do with the body. They identify with the world. Let that not be us. Hallelujah. Let's examine ourselves. If we need a correction, praise God. Judge yourself and know what He said? You won't be judged. Whew. Wow. Got that one off of me. And that's the purpose. If we judge ourselves, if we won't judge ourselves, we're eventually going to face judgment. But what's the purpose of that judgment? So I'm not condemned with the world. I would not rather have, you know, a meteor hit me on the head to get me in line. I would much rather change and move out from underneath the meteor. You know, a lot of people, I've watched this on Christianity. People generally need to get hit with the meteor. They're not going to make a change until something bad happens. Why? Because God's not quick to judge. God will let us get away with things sometimes for a long time without anything happening. God is long-suffering. But it doesn't say he'll be long-suffering forever and not deal with nothing. He'll give a long time for us to repent and turn. Hallelujah. So let's set ourselves today with communion. As we go to this table, let's go to it with a reverence. Let's don't go to it in an unworthy manner. This is not some fruit. We're just going through this thing and really it has no meaning to us. Hallelujah. This is something done from the heart. It's not done from the head. It's done from the heart. What does this mean to you and I here? How do you identify with it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we identifying with Jesus Christ? Are we identifying with the body? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to judge that. I don't know. I can't say. That's what you have to judge. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we hand out the communion elements. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Lord, I know that these are very subtle things. But Father, I want to thank you for a people, Lord God, that I believe that desire to follow you and walk with you. Lord God, we look at these things and Lord God, we're certainly living in a world that's taken wrong directions, Lord God. Lord God, but Lord, we're going to preach what is true. Lord God, Lord, it's our job to bring life to this world. It's our job to carry this wonderful life that's in Christ Jesus. And take these glorious words, and these are glorious words. Lord God, these are not words, Lord God, to hurt man. These are words to help us. And Lord God, Lord, show us. Teach us, Lord God, so we can carry these things to people to help them, Lord God, so they can be overcomers. Hallelujah. Father God, I want to see a victorious church. I want to see the church rise up in its glory, walking in what you have prepared it for, Lord God. Lord God, not walking in its own path, doing its own thing. But Lord God, following the Word of God, loving the Word. Hallelujah. Jesus, we don't love you no more than we were the loves of the words that are written on the page. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Thank you for instilling it in us. And as we take these elements today, Lord God, I thank you. They are life to us. And they're health to all our flesh. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our servers to come and we'll hand the elements out this morning. Glory to God. This bread represents the flesh of Jesus Christ. God became a man. Oh, wow. That's an awesome thing. God became a man to redeem us. Through faith, God identifies you. We eat this bread. It's just natural bread. But it's the identification of something spiritual is what we're doing. When you believed on Jesus Christ, you became a partaker of His flesh. As just as if you went to that cross and you died on that cross, and that you went to hell. You went to hell, and you suffered for all of your sins. He did that for us, but through faith, that's our identification. And when we take this bread, we're identifying God came in flesh, because somebody with flesh had to do this. And through faith, God says, when we eat this, it's just as if we did it. We're united as one. But I want you to see this. We're not just one with Jesus. We're one with one another. The only people who are going to be in the heaven are going to be the ones that are one with one another. I don't know why some people want to go to heaven because they don't ever want to be with the body. It's like, well, they're going to hate heaven because they got to be with the body. I'm looking forward to heaven because I'm going to be with the body. You folks, you're one. You're one with Jesus Christ, and we're one with one another. We're this royal priesthood, this holy priesthood, this holy nation, a royal priest, a holy nation. That's us. This one people. Glory to God. Father, I just thank you so much for sending Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for your great obedience to step out of the glories of heaven and step into this earth into a human body. Carrying out the great plan of salvation. That Lord Jesus, that we just accepted by faith. We didn't have to suffer for any of it. We didn't have to perform any great deeds. We didn't have to do any of that. We just believe on the one and called on that name. And Lord God, we're no longer are. We got a new spirit in us. Hallelujah. We're different people. We have a new heart. And you gave us that by faith. And Lord God, as we eat today this flesh, we're reminded of our oneness together with Jesus Christ and in one body. Hallelujah. Lord God, and we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, take it and eat. Jesus said that this is the blood of the new covenant. It's the new covenant. There's a new covenant that was made because of Jesus Christ. Through faith, you came in by the blood to this covenant. It's interesting about this blood because under the Old Testament, the blood was taken into the holies of holies of the old covenant, into the old temple, and they sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat of God. The blood of Jesus Christ was taken into holies of holies of heaven itself, the Bible says. Jesus took his blood in there and he put it on the mercy seat of heaven. The mercy seat of heaven, that's where the throne of God is. It says to make an eternal redemption. The new covenant is an eternal covenant, stands forever. Under the old covenant, for a year their bloods and their sin was covered by the blood. And the new covenant, we are not covered with the blood of Jesus. We are one with the blood of Jesus. There's a big difference. If you're covered with the blood, that means you're going to have that happen again probably to you. We don't get covered with the blood. The New Testament has no the covering of the blood. The New Testament, the reason we drink the blood is because we're this representative, because to remind you, you're one with the blood of Jesus. You're one with the redemption. It's eternal. We partake of it. We don't paint ourselves with it. If we would do the old covenant, you'd dump it over your head. We don't dump it over our head. We are a people that are identified with the blood of Jesus. We're identified that that blood is our blood. We're identified as oneness with that blood. That's why you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you were just covered with the blood, you couldn't go there. See? God can only look at you through the blood. No, he can't. He can look at me face to face. Hallelujah. I'm born again, a child of God. I have God's nature. He's not looking through me through the blood. Hallelujah. I'm one with the blood. Hallelujah. I have eternal redemption, and so do you. And that's why, as we, the body of Christ, we should look at ourselves and among ourselves. We are a peculiar people. We're a different people in this earth. There's nothing like us. God views us totally different than anybody on the face of the earth. When you came to Jesus Christ, you're now a child of God. And we take this blood, we're reminded of what Jesus Christ did. And the power of this blood is what did this to us, that we got born again because of this power. We got seated in heavenly places. We got identified with God Himself. He's our Father. That's not something we say just to have a nice word. God is literally my Father. And He is only Father to those who are born again. He is Father to no one else. Jesus told the Pharisees, your father's the devil. Hallelujah. For 30 years, the devil was Ed's dad, but he changed that. Glory to God. Faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why I can be a partaker of it, because a new creation became born that day. The old Ed Gibson is dead. That life is gone. That man's left forever and will never be found again. Hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're united. You're united with one with the blood. Hallelujah. How much better can it get? Glory to God. Father, we thank you for the blood. And we honor the blood, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ. Lord God, He did it. He carried it out for us. But Lord God, we're today partakers of that blood, united as one with the power of that blood, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, that everything in this new covenant, every promise is ours. Everything that this thing covenant states belongs to us in all of its power, in all of its glory, because of the blood of Jesus. And we partake of it and declaring ourselves one with the great Lord Jesus Christ. Take it and drink. And all working together. Thank you, John. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to follow what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It's just different, some things going on inside of me, but we want to do that. It's completely different today in the direction I had planned on going. But God's allowed to change it. He's allowed to. He's allowed to change some things. I want to, John had asked for prayer. I want to have John come up. I want to minister to John this morning. But I want to ask this. It's one of the things we're doing, and I wrote in the bulletin, because there's been so much demonic activity going on. Sit down here a second. Well, now, just you're there or there, don't matter, wherever you want to sit. But there's been so much demonic activity, and even in the church world, there's so much pressure coming on people and things happening and stuff going on. It's not, you know, there's people walking and living exactly right, but there's so much demonic pressure today of going on and things happening. And we as the church, we need to identify. You need to be able to identify what's going on. We can sometimes live in ignorance. We can be living and walking right. But there's one thing we're going to have to learn is to stand in our authority. The church has gotten away from its authority. And what it is, they're trying to get God to do things without us operating in our authority. And us walking and identifying what's wrong, what is going on, what's happening. You know, it's like years ago, and I've told the story, and I'll tell it again. It's good when it's, you know, as when we first, Wanda and I first got, well, she got saved, and I was saved first, and then she got saved. And after a number of months, we were born again, and all of a sudden, Wanda really just started acting strange. She just started, Wanda was just mad all the time. And, you know, it just, I don't care what I did, she was upset, you know. It didn't, you know, if you did what she wanted, she was mad, and if you didn't do what she wanted. And you know, I'm tiptoeing around. I'd come home from work, and she'd be upset about something. Now, we lived together as sinners, and Wanda wasn't like that. She'd get upset at times. You know, we'd get upset about things, but, I mean, Wanda was not one for a prolonged any kind of period of time to get, you know, do that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I'm over here in my, you know, but I'm a young Christian. I don't know everything about going on. But she's going through this thing, and I just, you know, me, I'm over here, you know, trying to tiptoe around it. I come home, I'm trying to be nice about things, and it ain't ever working out at all. And I'm sitting around, but you understand, I'm just seeing, you know, I'm looking in the natural, I'm just thinking in the natural. But I had never asked the Lord about it. I'd never spoken to the Lord about what was going on, what was happening. And finally, the one day I come home from work, and I walked in, and I just, you know, and she was in the kitchen doing some stuff, and I walked in the kitchen, and immediately she was upset about something, and I just turned around and walked out of the kitchen. I thought, well, it ain't going to do me any good. I thought, man, what is going on? But finally, you know, after all this time, a little light came on between my ears, and I guess there must be only a little one up there. So... It came on, and all of a sudden I thought, this is not Wanda. And I just, and it's the first time though out of it that I stopped and asked the Lord. And I want you to know this. We put up with stuff too long before we ever talk to God. And we usually go through our ideas of what we're trying to believe God for and trying to do and not asking God to get involved immediately. Because there's lots of times we don't know what's going on. And see, I found out lots of times, especially dealing with demonic things, you'll find that the word of knowledge lots of times will operate in that area. Most of the time, I would say this, is at least 99% of the times, God deals with me and shows me concerning demonic things, usually through a word of knowledge. He'll reveal to me that there's a demon involved with something. And you need to know this. You can't cast devils out by presumption. Well, I think it's a devil. I don't care what you think. You cannot use your faith without knowing exactly. You can't cast a devil out just in case there is one there. That does not work. We cast devils out by the finger of faith. Faith has to know there's one there. Well, I had never talked to the Lord to find out if there was one even there. I didn't know. I'm thinking about Wanda. Why? What have I done, or what's somebody done that's made her mad? Well, ain't nobody did nothing to make her. We didn't do it. And the Lord rebuked me because I stopped. And I remember, I'll never forget, walking up to the second floor, up the steps. And I got right about, we had well, steps went up and turned. And I got right about up to the turn on the steps. And the Lord rebuked me and said, there's a demon been bugging your wife and you have done nothing about it. I don't know why God didn't talk to me real cute when I was a young Christian. I don't understand this. He rebuked me as a young Christian. But he held me accountable concerning what was going on. Why? Well, you know, there's things that I did know. He had me deal with demons. He had me deal. We had problems in our home. He had me deal with them. But, and I just want to say, we get demons just like with her. There's a problem going on. That problem, no matter how nice I tried to be about it. See, this is one people... People think if I walk in love, everything's going to turn out all right. No, it's not! The devil don't care how much you walk in love. And people who are dominated by the devil don't change because you walk in love. They might act worse because you walk in love. But you know, I found this out. You have to learn to know truth. What's truth? Well, see, the Lord dealt with me with truth. See, I had my ideas of what was going on. I had my thoughts about how things were working. But I was wrong. And the problem was not going to get solved in Ed's direction. All I was getting was more frustrated. After a while, I'd have been as mad as she was. Well, what's right, Dave? What's going to happen? You can't keep going down the road on a thing. And we do that sometimes. I think we've done that to each other sometimes. We've gotten mad over stuff and mad because we just keep walking in our own direction and doing our own stuff. And right there standing on the steps, I didn't say anything to Wanda or nothing, right there on those steps. I just stopped and quietly said to myself, you foul demon that's messing with my wife, I command you to stop it right now and get out of this house in the name of Jesus. I didn't have to pray and fast and go through a whole bunch of stuff. I knew to use my authority. You don't pray. No place in the New Testament tells you to pray anything about the devil. Test you to cast him out. God don't do anything about the devil in the new covenant. That's our job. We cast out devils. We cast them out. So I went upstairs and got changed clothes, came downstairs and was astonished. I had another woman in the kitchen. Wanda was back. It changed it. And I want you to understand this. The Lord held me accountable for that. Why it was had going on as long as it did. You know. Sometimes we think people and have us, you know, messed up things that they do, but sometimes we're the problem because we've never taken the time to find out what's been causing the problem to deal with it. If anything, we as the church, we should be the ones to know what's back behind a problem. God is not going to sit around and not tell us. I have anything that has to do with me personally or my family, I have never had the Lord one time ever neglect to tell me what's going on. Never one time. I've always known. He don't withhold it from anybody. What concerns you, he's going to talk to you about what concerns you. So I just encourage you in this area, is the fact of it is find out from God. We're dealing with things. Don't just, you know, often, well, I'm just going to believe God for this, or I'm just going to be God. Pay attention to what's going on. Do you recognize oppression on yourself? Do you recognize it? Do you recognize when demons are trying to oppress you and make you, you know, whatever, you know, but whether it's worry or what? Do you ever find yourself, you know, sister, sometimes after, you know what, I'll tell you what, if I don't wake up in the morning in a good mood, I know there's something demonic trying to bug me because I'm a person and I like the morning and I get up in the morning and if I'm having, and I've had it times, stuff wanted to oppress me in the morning and I just stop and say, we ain't going to this place. That ain't me. See, most people don't even know themselves. And they'll get under and they'll go down to the doctor and take a drug and keep the demon. Some people, I'm glad they put them under drugs. They'd do a lot worse things if we didn't. You know, I'm not against giving some people drugs. They need them, let me tell you. But it's identifying what's going on. Know yourself. Know yourself. I mean, if you go, do you understand when you're trying to, something's oppressing you, something's trying to make you, whether it's worried or feel depressed, and that kind of thing? Do you have something come against you, bringing thoughts to you, and they are not the thoughts that are not good? And these thoughts keep coming. They aren't generated in your mind. There's something coming from the outside, coming to you, wanting you to be miserable, mean, think bad thoughts, do stuff, and you have that. Identify those things, folks. There are spirits involved. The Scripture tells us in the New Testament, there are many voices and none without significance. When those thoughts come, identify. Don't sit down and say, why am I thinking that terrible thought? You weren't thinking that terrible thought. That thought was brought to you. Learn to identify it and say, that is not my thought. Devil, I bind you. I ain't living with those thoughts. That is not me. I'm a born-again child of God. I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to be thinking evil. I'm not going to be... Look, we have all these murders and stuff going on out here and all this stuff, and they're being done by people they say are nice people. They don't know what happened. I can tell you exactly what happened. This is demonic stuff over time that have oppressed people, and slowly over time, they don't have any spiritual people around them. Nobody in the church is spiritual, and nobody's around them, and nobody ever sees the change of what's going on in that individual and sees what's happening. Because everybody's looking on the outside. The devil can possess a person and make them look good on the outside. Oh, yes. People with religious spirits can look like, boy, they're really Christian. And they ain't belong to Christ at all. They'll have all the lingo, all the stuff, follow all the things. And in the church, they're not identified at all. They become pastors of churches. They have traveling ministries. And they go around and people don't even know it. And the Christians hook up with them. They don't know. That's to our shame. You know, God's going to hold the church accountable for this stuff. We go before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says, know no man after the flesh. I got to know what spiritually is going on. I got to be more attentive to the voice of the Lord, to what's happening in the realm of the Spirit. The more sensitive we are over there, we can do things to change things and minister. The more we can yield the gifts of the Holy Spirit to minister to people. There's a lot of things. If gifts don't go into manifestation, if the power of God don't show up, your prayers ain't going to do nothing for it. That's why you want to be sensitive. It's not enough for me just to pray. What if I'm the guy that prays, but God wants to manifest the power through me? If I can't hook up with it, my prayer just went to nothing. My prayer just was nice, good thing. But it doesn't, because God wants to manifest. I want to be the position that He can manifest. I'm totally, though, convinced of the fact that we don't talk enough to God about things that are going on around us that are causing problems. I want to know in this church, I want to know among the people go here if the devil's moving them to some crazy thing to do. I want to know. You know, they shoot me, it goes to heaven, it don't matter, but I want to know. I want to know. I want to know for that individual's sake. I want to know. I want to be able to help them. We want to be able to work at things. To think the fact that it's going on, the people don't know. They don't know what's going on around them. They have no concept or idea. It's one of the things we can't let a bunch of sin. We can't let sin in the church. So the Lord told me when years ago we started the church, the Lord said to me, He said, don't you allow the spirits of the community to get in your church. And He showed me that in our community, He showed me how the spirits of the community have gotten into the churches, and those spirits run the church. And He showed me, I saw in a vision, I saw churches in this community that were operating where the demonic spirits operated and ruled the church. He said, don't let the spirits of the community get in your church. Because they will always come to want to rule. They're always going to want to do it. People are always going to want to control. They aren't going to want to listen to leaders. They have their, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm a Christian. I can just, I can do my thing. So you don't want to get like that. You get over in that thing. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. You know, you have to get over to the place where you aren't afraid God can't take care of you. You get people try to do stuff, God can take care of you. And you get over in faith with God. There's people that don't do right, but you can't let that rule your life. You can't let that run you. And there's people I thought didn't know if they were doing right or not and found out that they were. I just didn't know. I had to grow up to find out. Hallelujah. But I want you this morning, John has to have prayer, and I want to pray for John this morning. He has a physical ailment he wants to pray for. But I want to ask, if anybody, you're in a place, you've been tormented, you've been dealing with any kind of depression or oppression of any sort, you've been dealing with those things, I want to minister to you today. The church, we're not supposed to have that. This is nothing, folks, it's nothing to be ashamed of, it's nothing. Don't deal with it. It's not because you're weird or you're strange of any sort. Hallelujah. Stuff tries to come along and get on us. Stuff comes to come and knocking on our doors. And I'm just asking this morning, if there's something and you want prayer to stand with you, we want to stand with you, whether healing or whatever it is. But if you are dealing in any areas where stuff has just been coming against you and it just seems like sometimes you get over an area and just think one thing after another, they start. And you sit there. It becomes a thing as over time it just sort of hammers at you and hammers at you and hammers at you. After a while you're looking over your shoulder all the time, waiting for the next one to drop, next shoe to drop. You're on this thing, you get on that. And you gotta get off that ride. No, I don't want you to get on that ride, any ride like that. It's so easy to get over into the areas and that stuff because you don't want to get over where spirits can depress you. You get in depression, after a while you'll have an obsession. People that get depressed usually end up over at obsessions where the devil will start dealing with their minds, dealing with their weaknesses, that's one thing. The devil can find a weakness in you. He'll just take that weakness and taunt that thing with you and taunt that weakness and taunt that weakness, trying to get you over till you get to the places, I can't do nothing about it. I'm no good. I just can't, you'll start looking at yourself as if you're something, terrible. And see, you don't want to get over it because you start taking, after a while you become obsessed with those thoughts. And once they get in the obsession area, it gets bad. Because after a while, that spirit will control your mind and control what you think. That's how people end up doing the murders and the stuff that they do. They become obsessed. In fact, go to the place some possessed. President Obama was possessed by a demon. He had one that actually lived in him. Didn't live in his mind. It lived in him, dominating. That's why people were just so marveled at his awe when people following after him. Well, I knew from the thing of the natural. All these people fell in love with him. The guy was unknown. How could you fall in love with an unknown guy? He was so wonderful. He had never done anything in his life before he was president. He was a senator who had never even offered one bill in Congress and never done nothing. And all of a sudden, this guy becomes really like Adolf Hitler. You read the study about Adolf Hitler. It was the same thing as a guy possessed. And if he had the opportunity, he would have murdered as much as Hitler did. That spirit would do the same thing. That's why you don't want to let these things go. You don't want to let this stuff go. Don't get over in this thing about, well, people will think, that I'm, something's wrong with me. I'm going to tell you let it go, there is something wrong with you. Something going to get worse. Don't let it go. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm giving you the opportunity. God will minister to people. I want to minister to John here. Hallelujah. Glory to God for the physical. Praise God. Now, we took communion, John. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you're in the new covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. You got the new covenant. And the new covenant, in that covenant, just as Jesus took your sins and through faith you were born again, you receive Christ. Yes. Just in the same manner you receive your healing. In the same manner, because healing's in the new covenant. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Himself did that. Himself. Glory to God, Himself did it. Jesus Himself did it. Oh, my. You talk about good news. Jesus did that. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. He says you were. Amen. Well, we're just going to agree with that. Right. We're just going to agree with that. Hallelujah. We believe what the new covenant says, and I know you believe what the new covenant says. Yes. And you told me, you've been meditating on it. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Well, we're standing together with John. One to put 1,000 to flight, two to put 10,000. Hallelujah. Sometimes we stand up against things and there's nothing wrong with us. How to tell you? That's what the body's about. There is power in the body that is in no gift of the Spirit. The body of Christ can produce things that the gifts themselves don't produce. We can do it by our faith. The gift of healing is not the word of knowledge. Yet, agreement among Christians can do anything, the word says. All things are possible. There's nothing. Nothing left out. To agree is by touching anything they ask. Think about that. Anything. See, is when the church forgets what communion's really about and about the body, they forget about the power. I'm going to tell you what, it's just like we get in series with one another when we agree in prayer. That power is just multiplied through that. And we, Jesus Christ, it says in agreement, would we lack in any power? How could Jesus be in agreement and join that agreement and we would lack any power? Glory to God. We just stand in faith concerning John this morning. The church agrees. Let's stand to our feet. And we're agreeing. We're agreeing this morning that John receives his healing this morning. Hallelujah. Ailment, sickness, anything in his body has to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. It has to, because John has a partaker of the blood of Jesus Christ. He is under this covenant. Every promise belongs to him. Father, I want to thank you for healing going through this body. Hallelujah. Father, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, he is released in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing power, the medicine of the Holy Ghost, over him right now is going in through his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Working in this body. Sickness, you must go. Disease, you must go. Ailment, you must go in the name of Jesus. You can't stay in this body. You have no right to it. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you must leave in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, John is healed. John is healed. John is healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's working in him. It's working in him. It's working in him. Hallelujah. We have a right to it, just like with you, standing where you are. Anything in the covenant, it is yours. It belongs to you. You're not trying to get it. You don't have to grow up spiritually to get it. What you do is find, grow up. Growing up helps, because in growing up, you find out what all belongs to you. But it is yours already. All the promises of the New Testament, it's all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Any promise made in the book, see, healing is John's. He don't have to try to get God to heal him. It belongs to him. And we use our authority and we take that. Hallelujah. You're pleasing to God when you take a hold of the thing he promised you. That's what it makes. It's not this, well, if you want to or you don't want to, Lord, it's up to you. That's a nothing. You take a hold of it, it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Peace belongs to you. Amen. It's yours. It belongs to you. See, we can take a hold of that. I'm taking a hold of what belongs to me. See, like John's body says something else, it don't matter. Healing belongs to him. His body is going to have to obey. His body is going to have to obey. So you learn how to talk to your body and tell your body it's going to obey. Say, body, you ain't going to stay sick. You ain't allowed to. I ain't going to put up with it in Jesus' name. I ain't going to put up. I don't have to. Amen. Jesus gave me the authority not to have to put up with it. Hallelujah. Learn to talk to it. Talk to your body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's faith here, ain't there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know what? You don't have to cry. You know what? You can be happy. Do you know you're delivered in the name of Jesus? Do you know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're free in Jesus' name. Yes, you are. You're free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. See, the covenant's yours. And the covenant belongs to you by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, in that wonderful name. Yeah. Devil, I bind you and your operation against the child of God in the name of Jesus. She has a covenant. A covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I want to thank you. The covenant is hers. Hallelujah. It belongs to her. The peace that passes all understanding, guarding her heart and mind in Christ Jesus, it belongs to her. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to cease and desist in your operations in the name of Jesus. We declare peace in the name of Jesus over this mind. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We bind the operations of the devil in the name of Jesus, and we speak over this mind the peace of God. Hallelujah. Peace of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord God. Peace and joy, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Peace and joy in the name of Jesus. Soundness. Soundness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All fear is gone. All fear is gone. Fear, you cannot operate. You don't have a part in this in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's rest and there's peace in Jesus' name. Rest in peace in the name of Jesus. That's what we declare. That's what we have. That's what belongs to us. Hallelujah. We will not receive anything else other than what the Scripture says belongs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for faith at rest. Hallelujah. At rest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. At rest in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get it. We got it. Hallelujah. We got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was given. It was given 2,000 years ago when Jesus was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, it became yours. Hallelujah. It belongs to us. Hallelujah. It's ours in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Joy and glory. Joy and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have it all. It all is yours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee. So one thing is about staying free. You're going to find it's something you're going to have to maintain. Because stuff will always try to come. Hallelujah. When stuff comes, when worry comes to you, when things of those come to you, recognize them. That's not me. I'm a child of God. That's what I am. I belong to God. I belong to God. I'm His. He's not working against me. He's made all the promise toward me. If something comes that is not right, identify it and call it what it is and say, that is not mine. I am not going to have that. I'm not taking that. You have to learn to do that. You know, people say, well, you're going to catch a cold. I tell you, a cold starts coming my way. The first thing I say is, that one don't belong to me. That one's not mine. See, most people accept it and try to get healed. I'm going to tell you, talk to it. Tell it. Don't ever accept it. People say, I have a cold. What'd you take it for? Why'd you take it? You admitted you took it. You admit it. Well, I have it. I couldn't wait to get it. I'll tell you, it was really a nice one, and I took that thing. No, see, no. That sickness isn't mine. Jesus didn't go around making people sick. He didn't do that. And he ain't doing it today either. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, did it help you? Hallelujah. Well, it's supposed to help you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's all right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, hallelujah. Let's not take the garbage anymore. Let's take what belongs to us under the covenant. Hallelujah. God has all kind of, he has joy and peace. Hallelujah. Because the devil and the people, you know, certain people, they'll listen to what the devil said and they'll come and try to dump their garbage on you and that stuff. But you're not the landfill, are you? That's right. You're a child of God. You know, we were singing this morning about holy ground. We're that holy ground. They're that holy ground. Somebody comes to dump the junk on you, just sort of push it off the ground, man. No, I'm sorry, that doesn't belong to me. They can do their things, they can do their stuff. That's not mine. That's not mine. Hallelujah. What I have is what the covenant says. Because see, you're in the covenant. Hallelujah. The covenant is yours by the blood of Jesus Christ. All the promises of that covenant, all the peace, the joy, the rest, all of that is in the covenant, was given by Jesus Christ. It's not something you're trying to get. It's already been given. Hallelujah. He said yes to you. You need peace today. He's saying yes to you today. You need joy today. He's saying yes to you. Yeah. That's right. That's yours. That belongs to you. That's on the list. Hallelujah. All the wonderful things that are in there. The salvation that you have, your salvation sets you free from everything that the devil could offer. Hallelujah. Of any kind of worry that he tries to bring, there is no worry in the new covenant. I look down through, I can't find worry as one of the gifts that God gave to man. Hallelujah. But I do see it as something that he delivered us from. Hallelujah. Because see, he's given you peace, peace of mind. The peace that passes all understanding, guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, we know the work of the enemy and what he does. We know the voices that come against us. We know, Lord God, his tactics and how he tries to torment people's minds and to bring oppression and depression to people, Lord God. Father, this is your child, Lord God, and we're laying hands on her today in the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. And devil, we just rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We bind your operations and command you to cease and desist in your operations against her in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I want to thank you. Lord God, we speak freedom. Freedom over her. Freedom from evil thoughts. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from things that have come against her. In the name of Jesus, we speak peace. Hallelujah. Peace. A mind of peace. Hallelujah. Lord God, joy. Joy, Lord God. Lord, that's what you've called us to walk. The joy of the Lord's our strength. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that she has strength in her. She has joy. Joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. She's being made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. Lord, we're not going to let the enemy. The enemy's not going to win in any of this. Hallelujah. He has to take a back seat. He can't come forward. This is a child of God. He's going to have to let this go in the name of Jesus. This will not continue. Hallelujah. But peace and joy will continue in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 You know what you just said? I'm going to tell you what you just said. Your spirit, what's in you, has not been what's going on in your mind. In you, see, is another person. In you just said, I will not tolerate this anymore. I will not have this anymore. I'm free. I'm free. That's what you said in the spirit. That's what you said. Hallelujah. See, your inner man, there's nothing wrong with you on the inside. It's what's been coming against you from the outside that's been trying to deal with your mind. But your inside knows. Look to the inside. In the inside, that's where your strength is. In the inside's where your ability is. On the inside, that's where it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have it on the inside. Let that strength on the inside come to your outside. Hallelujah. Take a hold of that boldness that's in you. Hallelujah. You know there's a giant on the inside. No matter, we might not look very big on the outside, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a giant that's been living in us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And let that giant on the inside that has what God has get in the rest of you. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're free in Jesus' name. Your own spirit said it. Hallelujah. Your own spirit said it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Hallelujah. Anybody else?
Will you stand and agree with me, please?
For what for?
I am going to own a home. I'm not going to pay more than, it's a flip home, so I'm not going to pay more than $25,000 for it.
Okay.
The renovations of it will happen quickly and easily. I will not run into problems. It'll meet my budget, and it'll sell quickly in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
I
did that before, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
It worked, too.
Yes, sir. And I feel that the Lord is going to prosper me as my soul prospers. And I need more finances so I can sow into things of his kingdom. So I can't sow into every good work yet. So he's bringing
that's right.
Yeah,
there you go.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, there's one thing I want to say. It's a good thing. See, a lot of people think in giving sometimes that money just comes. But lots of times there's money comes in what we do. She's just like with her. She's doing things that God can bless her in. She's laboring things with her hand, making an investment into things that God can bring a blessing to her. She already did this with one house. She already did this, and God blessed her good through it. And so now she's going to do it again. God's blessing the labor of her hand. She's putting her hand to something. You see, this is what we got to listen to. Lots of times people don't. Ministers lots of times teach people wrong. And most of the big ministers in the faith messages have taught people wrong. They haven't taught clearly enough to most people. As a minister, most of the time, people will give me money. That's the way it comes. But you know what? The average person, it's things that they do from their work and from where they labor, what they invest in and do it. That's how God brings it into them. And see, lots of times people have been sitting back and just waiting for something to happen. And nothing ever happens. They start to say, God's not blessing me. Well, what are you putting your hand to? But as ministers, we have to put our hand to something. I mean, I have to put my hand to the Word of God and to do the things for God to be able to bring things to bless me. But we need to understand, God can do things. You have talents and things that God's given you to do. Put those things to work. Put the wisdom of God from the Word, just like she's doing. She's going to do things. She wants to, and she has specifically, which I like, she has a specifically, a precise agenda that she's asking God for. She's not just saying, well, God bless me in this thing. Well, how? She knows exactly what she wants God to bless her and do. Well, no, but she does. And folks, you know, that's why a lot of people don't get blessed, because they come with a shotgun. I'm going to tell you what, you'll do better with a rifle with God than a shotgun. People just, you know, their prayers are just shotgun or scatter. You know, they don't have any specifics. This is what we want. Specifics are hugely important in what you want. And we agreed before with her, she had bought a house and what she wanted, and she got it exactly. In fact, the Lord had me tell her about getting more money than she was going to originally ask for, and she did.
I did.
But she started out, but the whole thing is she started out specifically with what she wanted. See, God can't do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think if you don't have a goal set of what you're going to get. He can't go beyond your what you're, if you're, well, God, I just need some money. Well, he sends you a dime. That was some money. You know, it's like you have a specific goal. God can do exceedingly abundantly. And I just want to tell you, because this works. I found out all the time, if people set a course in what they go, and I agree with them, if it's in line with the Word of God, it'll come to pass.
Amen.
It'll happen.
That's right.
That's the way it's designed to work. So set yourself. Set yourself. Things that you're believing God, you want something in God, sit down and decide exactly what you want. Mark 11:24 says, whatever thing you desire when you pray. It didn't say whatever God desires for you, you pray. It don't say that. That's man's, that's religion talking. Jesus said, whatever you desire when you pray. What do you desire? What is your desire? See, she has a desire. Now, her desire is also set for her future. She said, I don't have enough to give to every good work. So I want to be able to, so in other words, she don't plan and quit doing this. She plans doing other things to get more money. See, she's already set in her future. Most people are just trying to get by now. Get by now, faith stinks. It does. That's right. Thank God you can get something right now. But I want to tell you what, I have one more than just now. I don't want to have to wait till the next thing happens and I try to get it all. I want to have things going down the road here. I want to have blessing waiting for me. Glory to God. That's right. That's right. Knocks on my door. If he knocked on your door and you didn't answer, it came to my house. But I ain't going to give it to you. Comes to me, I keep it. Hallelujah. Well, let's agree. Let's agree with her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So she's agreed. We're believing with her. She's going to get this place for $25,000. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Getting it fixed up and ready for sale. It's going to go good. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Things are going to move along. Anything rises up, the answer will come to it quickly.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. And she's going to give good bucks out of this place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's all going to turn out. So she ends up having more money to do, to be able to give to more good things. Hallelujah. And more to invest to make more money. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. This is an ugly, vicious circle that's just one. Works great. Father, I just want to thank you. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we agree with our sister, Lord God. Father, you put things in her heart and she has set a course. And Lord God, it's a good course. And I want to thank you as we agreed. Hallelujah. She's getting the house.
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's not going to pay any more than 25.
Amen.
And Lord God, I would not be surprised. She might get it for less.
Amen.
Wouldn't surprise me. But Lord God, she's not going to pay any more than the 25.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, the renovation's going to go well. It's going to go through. Hallelujah. Lord God, because, Lord, we can't be spending years and waiting. The time is short.
That's right.
There's much needs to be done, and there's much of finances need to be brought in, Lord. And I want to thank you that this becomes a quick thing and works well.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God,
with a great quick turnover, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we want Jesus glorified in this thing.
Amen.
We want Jesus magnified. We want to show people that the Word of God is true, that it comes to pass. How God helps His people. Glory to God.
Amen.
And Lord God, I want to thank you for the abundance that you will make from this thing. Hallelujah. A season exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or think. That's your word says. You do those things. Hallelujah. We're not going to put a limit on the blessing. We're not putting a limit on the blessing, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, and I want to thank you, Lord, so she will have, her desire will be met, Lord God, that she'll have to give to every good work. Lord God, I want to thank you. She's going to continue to be blessed financially, continue to be blessed financially, and continually be blessed financially, Lord God. Lord, so the kingdom of God can be blessed, so your work, Lord Jesus, can go forth, because, Lord God, we can give without any hindrance. In the name of Jesus, thank you for doing it, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just give you the glory for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're working mightily in this thing. The good work you started, you're bringing it to completion. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. That's all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else? We got here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You need peace, hallelujah, that passes all understanding. Well, peace has been given to you by God. Think about this. So you need peace, so you know what we're going to do? This is a simple thing. We're going to receive it. We're going to believe it belongs to you.
Amen.
See, that's what we're going to, and it does. It does belong. So we receive it. See, God's not going to give you peace. He gave you peace. Now, what we do is we join our faith together, and we believe that you have peace today in the name of Jesus. See, it's yours. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. The devil might have told you don't, and he tells you, well, maybe God will give it to you someday. Well, he's not going to. He already did it. And that devil's a liar. He's a liar. Hallelujah. It's yours in the name of Jesus. And don't you worry about a thing. Things are going to work out just fine for you. God's always taken care of you, hasn't he? You think he's going to quit now? He's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. He knows your name. Maxine, he knows your name. More than you know your name. He knows where you live more than you know where you live. He knows your heart more than anybody knows your heart. Hallelujah. And he knows how to take care of you. And he ain't going to stop doing it either.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's going to prove to people his goodness to you. Hallelujah. If he has to send ravens with me, he'll do it.
Amen.
Whatever he has to do, he will do to care for you.
Amen.
You're his. You're under his covenant. It's not a covenant that you made. It's his covenant that he made with you. It's the covenant is what he desired to do for us. It's not what we desired to have done to us. It's what he desired to do for us. And he desired that you have peace, and he desired you have joy. That's what he's desired. That's what he gave you in the covenant. Oh, he's good. He's good. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for my dear sister in Jesus' name. Lord God, I just want to thank you. I thank you for a wonderful, glorious covenant that you made, Lord Jesus. If it just would have been just for her, in the name of Jesus Christ, this wonderful blood covenant that she's won in this covenant with you. Oh, my, 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 my. Hallelujah. And Lord, all the great benefit of this covenant, this wonderful covenant made in the blood of Jesus, this wonderful salvation, its provision, Lord God, is so phenomenal, so incredible. And Lord God, it's all for Maxine. Every bit of it. There's enough to go around to everybody. There's enough for her to overflow far beyond. Hallelujah. What her mind could ever imagine or think. Devil, you get your hands off of God's property in the name of Jesus. You shut your mouth of accusation against her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. To leave her alone in Jesus' name. And I speak over her in Jesus' name, the peace of God. Oh, the peace of God over her life right now in the name of Jesus, because that's hers. It's given by Jesus Christ, and it's given to her right now. Peace that passes all understanding. And the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, a rejoicing, a rejoicing, a rejoicing. Lord God, I want to thank you that she'll lay her head down on her pillow tonight and she'll have great rest and sleep without a worry, without a fear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, Lord Jesus, you're her husband, the scripture says. Hallelujah. She doesn't have one, but you're hers. Hallelujah. My words, what a better husband could she have than Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Didn't have, and Lord Jesus, you're with her tonight. When she lays her head down, you're there with her tonight. You're the husband that watches over and cares and looks for, and you're a great provider, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not a lazy husband. Hallelujah. You're a good husband that provides and takes care of her every need in Jesus' name. And she will never lack nor want in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord sent me to tell you this. Let me provide for you. Let me provide for you. Don't limit him. Let him provide what you need. Step out big. There's things he wants you to step out and take a hold of. He wants to do for you. He wants to take care of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He wants to. Hallelujah. He's your husband. If he can't take care of you, he's a no good husband. That's right. Jesus is the best husband there ever
Amen.
Was. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Maxine. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else at all? We're good here this morning. Hallelujah. Well, let's just thank the Lord for what he's done for people. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you today. Thank you for your kindness and goodness to your people. I want to thank you, Lord God. What we did is not just some religious work. I want to thank you that you're...